Hello, friends. Denny Pruto here with a lesson on understanding parables. The first thing we come to in properly understanding parables is the idea of the simile. A simile is a simple statement using like or as. It is a formal comparison. For example, in Matthew 13, verse 44, Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field." Here is the comparison. The kingdom of heaven is compared to a treasure hidden in a field. Using the word like in a similar way, Jesus says in verse 45, again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls." Here is the formal comparison. The kingdom may be compared to a merchant seeking fine pearls. In other words, the kingdom is of great value. In verse 24, Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field." Here again we find the comparison. A sentence using like or as is not given to us by Jesus, but the same idea is present, and we could change the sentence to read, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field." That's the idea Jesus is presenting. And so a simile is a statement that gives a comparison, and we call it a formal comparison because the statement usually uses like or as. Now, what is a parable? A parable is an extended simile. In other words, the simile, the comparison, is drawn out. For example, verse 44 again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." You see, the comparison is drawn out into a little story. And this is what a parable is. Parables are stories. And this is what we get in verse 44. In verses 44 or verses 45 and 46, there's another little story that Jesus tells. Again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it." You see, this simile, the simple comparison, is drawn out into a little story. In verse 47, there's a little bit a longer story which Jesus gives. Verse 47 and following, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind." Here's the simple comparison using like. It's a formal comparison, and we call it a formal comparison because the comparison is stated utilizing like or as. Now, the parable is an extended simile, and so the comparison is drawn out into a little story. Listen to verses 47 and following. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Now, something is added to the parable here. In verses 47 and 48, we have the little story. But then in verses 49 and 50, which I also read, Jesus adds an interpretation to the parable. Listen again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they threw it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. Now, there's the parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea, and fish of every kind are gathered into the net. Now, when the net is brought up onto the shore, there's a sorting process which takes place. And the bad fish were thrown away, and the good fish were kept. The interpretation is this, that in the judgment, when Jesus comes a second time in glory, the angels will take out the wicked from among the righteous, and they will be cast into the furnace of fire. You see, that's the interpretation now that Jesus gives to the parable. So recognize that parables are extended similes, and parables are stories. The extended simile is a story. But here's another facet of the parable. Parables are stories which could happen. In other words, the parables are stories which could indeed take place. For example, back to verse 44 again in Matthew 13. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, which a man found and hid again, and from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. You see, this is a little story that could actually take place. A man could find a treasure hidden in a field, and then he would go and buy the field so that he could have that treasure. This is something that actually could take place. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. And so here's a merchant going out and looking for pearls of great price. And as he goes through the various stores and looks for pearls, he finds one in a collection that hasn't been noticed by others, and it's of great value. And so then he goes and he sells all that he has so that he can buy this pearl of great price. This is something that could actually take place. Verse 47, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea, gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach. You see, going fishing with a dragnet is something that could actually take place and could actually happen. And so parables are stories which could take place, which could happen. They're extended similes, they're little stories, but they're also stories that could take place. They are not like allegories or fables. You know what a fable is. Aesop's Fables, for example. The story of the tortoise and the hare. A very interesting little story that gives us a point, but turtles don't actually race rabbits, and turtles don't actually race rabbits and win the race. The fable of the tortoise and the hare is something that could not take place. It's an allegory. Let me try to draw this out for you by way of illustration. If you turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 5, in Isaiah chapter 5, we find another little parable in the first couple of verses of Isaiah chapter 5. Listen to Isaiah 5, verses 1 and 2. Let me sing now for my well-beloved a song, my beloved, of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. He dug it all around, removed its stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. He built a tower in the middle of it, and also hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones. Here's a little story, and this is a story that could take place. Here is the development of a vineyard, and in the interpretation of the parable, we find this, verse 3, "And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard than I had have not done for it? Why, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I am going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedge, and it will be consumed. I will break down its wall, and it will become trampled ground. I will lay it waste. It will not be pruned or hoed, but briars and thorns will come up. I will also charge the clouds to rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel." See, the vineyard is Israel. The parable is a parable about Israel. The vine keeper, the master of the vineyard, is God himself. And because the vineyard does not produce good fruit, God says he will destroy the vineyard. This is the interpretation of the little parable. But the parable, you see, is a little story which could indeed take place. It could happen. And it's a little story that could be reduced to a simile. The kingdom of heaven is like a vineyard planted by an owner who expected to gather good fruit. You see, I've reduced the little story to a simile. Now, the parables may not always state the simile and extend the simile, but the parables are stories which could happen, and they can therefore be reduced to simple comparisons in the form of a simile. Now, let me explain this further by asking you to turn to Psalm 80. Psalm 80, and the verses in the center of the psalm, verses 8 and following. Listen to these verses. "You removed a vine from Egypt." See, the psalmist was talking about God. "You removed a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground before it, and it took deep root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shadow, and the cedars of God with its boughs. It was sending out its branches to the sea, and its shoots to the river. Why have you broken down its hedges, so that all who pass that way may pick its fruit? A boar from the forest eats it away. Whatever moves in the field feeds on it." God took a vine out of Egypt and planted it and tended it, but then it was forsaken by God, and the hedges were broken down, and wild beasts were set in to feed on the vine, feed on the vineyard. Now, this is a little story. And, of course, it's a story about God bringing the people, his people, out of Egypt and putting them in the promised land and causing them to flourish in the promised land. But they sinned and later were judged. But this little story in Psalm 80 is not something that could actually take place. Israel is not actually a vine. And God is not actually a vine dresser. And wild boars did not actually come into the vineyard and eat the vine. You see, this is not a story that could actually take place. It's an allegory. It's a fable. And I'm drawing out this distinction because parables are extended similes and stories which could happen, which could take place. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 15. I'm still building on the little parable now that Isaiah tells in Isaiah chapter 5 about the vineyard being established on a hillside. And it's a little story of something that could actually take place. But now listen as Jesus builds on this story in Isaiah chapter 5. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit." Here is another little allegory. Jesus is not actually a vine. His Father is not actually a vine dresser. You and I are not actually branches in a vine. This is a little allegory, and if you're perceptive, you'll recognize that Jesus is using metaphors. And the metaphor is also a comparison, but it's an implied comparison. Jesus says, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser." You see, he's comparing himself to a vine, but it's implied by the use of the metaphor. And because there are metaphors used here, the little story, if you will, is an allegory. The parable, on the other hand, is an extended simile. And it is a story which could indeed happen. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 13. What do we do in interpreting parables? We get the main point of the parable, or the main comparison in the parable. Again, let's look at a couple of the parables in Matthew 13. Verses 31 and 32. Jesus says, or Matthew says, he presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his field." See, here's a story, a little story now. It begins with a simile, which is a formal comparison, and the simile is drawn out. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." The mustard seed is very small, but it can grow into a large plant, and the birds of the air can come and nest in that plant. This is something that could actually take place. And so we have a parable here. And since this is a simile giving a formal comparison extended into a story, we want to understand the main comparison Jesus is giving to us. Let's read the parable again. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants, and it becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. What's the main point Jesus is drawing out, utilizing this extended simile, or this parable, or this little story? The main point is that the kingdom grows, and the promise is that the kingdom will grow. This is a wonderful promise that Jesus gives to us. Verse 33, he spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until all was leavened. This is a very simple simile, is it not? The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour until it was all leavened. Well, what happens to bread? The leaven in the bread causes the bread to rise. The leaven spreads throughout the bread. In other words, the promise again is that the kingdom will grow. A very important lesson for us. And it's a promise, is it not? The parable is an extended simile or a story which could take place. Of course, a woman can put leaven in bread and knead it and bake it. This is something which could actually take place. And utilizing this simple comparison, Jesus teaches us that the kingdom of God will indeed grow and flourish. Thank you, Lord, that this is the case. Now, finally, you are to get the main point or the main comparison. Do not press the details. Get the main point. You see, a parable is an extended simile. A simile is a formal comparison, and you are to get the main point or the main comparison Jesus is giving or that the parable is giving. Do not press the details. If you press the details, you will go astray. Finally, let's look at the parable that Jesus gives in Matthew 13, verses 24 and following. Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The slaves said, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, for while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Here is a story that begins with a simple comparison. And, of course, we have already showed that this could be reduced to a simple simile. And this is a story which could take place, that the field is sowed with grain, and then when the grain grows, lo and behold, there are weeds that grow up in the midst of the grain. And the servants of the landowner want to go out and pull all of the weeds out. And the landowner says, "No, let's wait. Let's wait. Let's not prematurely pull out the tares or pull out the wheat. Because if we do, we may destroy the wheat. Let's wait until the harvest. And then we can make a separation between the wheat and the tares." Now, what's the main point Jesus is making here. The main point or the main comparison is that there will be wheat that grows up within or tares that grow up in the midst of the kingdom of God. And we should not jump in and discipline people early, but we should be patient and we should wait. And on most occasions, we should wait and let the judge take care of this matter in the final judgment, and not rush in where angels fear to tread and disrupt the church. This is, seems to be the main lesson of the parable. Now, you could go in several different directions. But while his men were sleeping, you don't want to make too much of the fact that the servants were sleeping and say, well, you know, the elders are not paying attention. They're not doing their work. They're not helping out the landowner the way that they should. They're not showing proper discernment. And as a result of the elders not showing discernment, the devil comes and stirs up the church. That's not a main facet of the parable, you see. That's not a main facet of this story. Do not press the details of the parable. Get the main comparison Jesus is making, and when you do so, you'll get the nub of the story and the main lesson of the story, which you will be able to apply in this present life and in this present world. So then, what are parables? Parables are extended similes. A simile is a simple statement using like or as, and it is a formal comparison. The parables are therefore extended similes. They are stories which could indeed happen. They could indeed take place. And so you should examine the parable from this perspective. Parables are not allegories or fables. Understand the distinction. When you interpret a parable, get the main point of the parable or the main comparison given in the simile and drawn out in the story. Do not press the details of the parable, because if you press the details of the parable, you will no doubt go astray. I hope this is helpful for you in our topic of understanding parables. Thanks for listening.